All right, hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mercules. Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast. This is episode 16. We are joining you a day after Halloween, a day after the spooky trials has ended, and we're going to be discussing just a couple of things this week. I can promise you it is not going to be a long three-parter like it was last week, but we still have some really great info for you. We're going to discuss trials, whether or not we liked it. We're going to discuss the new challenge mode, the Vossix challenge mode, which just came out. Kutch has a couple of tips that he wants to add in, talking about accessories and accessibility in the game. And then we'll just see where we're at after that. But let's start things off with the introductions, as always. So I am Mercules. We also have NK Cougar and Kit Kutcha here with me. And how are you guys doing today?
Hey, what's up, Guardians?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. I'm ready to just jump into it.
Did you guys do anything fun for Halloween? Any parties or any trick-or-treating?
So I took my daughter out for trick-or-treating. I'll tell you, walking three blocks is never as tiring as when you are trying to remind a three-year-old to say thank you and please and trick-or-treat. But it was fun. It was good fun. She was she went as Supergirl, so yeah, we had a good time.
All right, very nice. What about you, Cougar?
I went to a Crazy Hippies Halloween party.
Crazy Hippies?
Yes.
So you were dressed as a Crazy Hippie?
No, it wasn't a theme. This was actually thrown by a Crazy Hippie.
Oh, all right. Well, how'd that go?
The food was fantastic, actually.
All right. Well, can't say much more about a party than that. Myself, I had a nice little Halloween party with some friends. I had some people who I didn't know show up and start drinking in my kitchen. I asked them who the hell they were, and they said, oh, I think we're at the wrong party. And I was like, you know what? You guys brought your own alcohol. You can stay. And they were like, thanks, we appreciate it. But then 5 minutes later, they were like, seriously, though, we actually are at the wrong party. We're supposed to be somewhere else. And they walked across the street, and we let them go. And then about an hour, they came back with more people, and they said that other party sucks, so we decided to come back. And I was like, great, that's cool. So that was the good part of Halloween. The bad part of Halloween was last year I had no trick-or-treaters coming to my house at all. So this year, didn't buy any candy. About 8 o'clock, a bunch of kids knock on my door, and me being the jackass that I am, I decide, well, I don't have any candy, so I'll just ignore them. I'm sitting on my couch, and I hear them knocking, and they keep knocking, and they keep knocking, and about 30 seconds after that, I realize that my front door is glass, and they can see me sitting on the couch from where they are, completely ignoring them. So I tried to sink back into the couch as far as I could go. It didn't work, but eventually they did go away. I felt terrible, went out and bought some candy, and no one came to my house the entire rest of the night. So it was an eventful Halloween for me.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. That's you won't be unprepared next time.
No, absolutely not. I'm buying candy for sure. But speaking of Halloween events, Spooky Trials was this week. It was no revives, no radar, and it was on the Cauldron to keep with that spooky Halloween theme. So how did you guys, I guess we'll start with Cougar first. Cougar, how did you find Trials this weekend? Did you enjoy it?
Before we get into that, there is one more thing to add. If you stayed aimed down your sight for too long, there was a shock noise, I guess, and a spider crawled down your screen. That was interesting.
Oh, really? It was like a jump scare type thing?
Yeah.
Did it actually scare you?
I about crapped myself the first time it happened.
I was kind of wondering what was triggering that. Now, I don't ADS very long, typically, so it only happened to me, I think, like once. I was just kind of like, I've been hearing the guys at my party going, like, talking about it constantly. Like, oh my god, that spider, you know, or whatever. And I was just like, I'm not seeing any spiders, guys. God, I don't know why it's not picking me. And then I didn't figure out what triggered it. So that's good to know.
That would have gotten me pretty badly. I'm an ADSer. I'm the guy who's hard scope in the corner with a sniper. So that would have gotten me very, very badly if I hadn't been very busy this weekend. But, so spiders aside, Cougar, what'd you think of Trials?
Personally, I wasn't a fan, but after playing through it for a while, I did notice that it was actually more accessible to a lower skill level of player than regular Trials is, thanks to not having the radar. I suppose not having revives would be good too, since they could take out, you know, they could turn it into a 2-on-3 situation, and they can't make a mistake that allows a revive. So, while I wasn't a fan of it, I do think it was far, far easier for maybe a lower bracket of player to reach that 5-7 win mark. So that was pretty cool.
Speaking for that lower bracket of PvP player, I can say that I found this weekend's trials to be a ton of fun. And it just, it was, you're accurate there in saying that it was more accessible. I went into it a lot more confident than I typically do because I knew that it was going to favor the close tactics that I'm comfortable with, which, you know, is a playstyle thing. You know, I think a lot of close combat players probably enjoyed having the no radar as an advantage. That definitely favors, I think, a shotgun strategy, which is already dominant. But it also, like you said, with not having the revives, it led to some very different situations in trials than you normally encounter. And I guess I've not played 3v3 without revives in Destiny before, so it was a really cool dynamic. I found there were a lot of very exciting 1v2 and 1v1 situations where, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth, baiting somebody, them baiting me, trying to figure out who's going to get the drop, and one time I lost some, but it was very different. I really hope that we see more Crucible-themed events like that, whether they use the same mechanics or some other mechanics. I hope that we continue to see more stuff.
To jump in real quick on that 1v1, 1v2 point, it was definitely much easier to play comparatively. Compared to standard trials, it was much, much easier to win a situation where you're outnumbered 1v2 or even 1v3. Thanks to there being no radar, if anybody lets up and gets separated from their team, it's a lot easier to sneak up on them, really, without them calling out for help.
Yeah, and this is an interesting dynamic, Cougar, that you mentioned before about higher skilled players maybe didn't enjoy it, but lower skilled players did. I mean, we've already seen the divisiveness of places like Crucible Playbook. A lot of players there truly did not enjoy this week. Even, regardless of whether or not they learned a technique that was successful, they didn't enjoy this compared to normal trials. A bunch of streamers have been very vocal about their complaints about not enjoying it. But then on the other hand, I think there are two posts right now with 1,000 upvotes or something on the front page of Destiny the game talking about how they really did enjoy it. And like you said, it was more accessible to a more casual population. I think it's a really good thing. I don't know if no radar, no revives would do well with the permanent trials, style. I think it promotes certain play styles, that are considered campy or considered cheesy or something like that. I don't know if it's a good way to go permanently, but I do think that, like Kutch said, maybe specific events that come up every once in a while would do well to change the mechanics up, to shake things up a little bit.
I agree that it definitely should not be in the permanent rotation. There actually is a little bit of a game-breaking, not necessarily exploit, but I guess lack of weakness in the play styles that you have to see, because you can take a strategically important location in a trials mode like that, and if you get a kill, you don't have to move out to cover that ghost that you just, you know, that you just dropped. They can't be revived. So I think that over the long run would lead to incredibly unbalanced matches. You know, if it's an unbalanced map and a team can get to the important strategic area first, it's game over.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. You know, with this being a one-time special event, honestly, I thought it was some good fun. I think people are always going to have very strong opinions with any event that affects something that they do week in and week out. And I respect those opinions, even as I disagree with the people who are upset by it. You know, next week trials, as far as we know, is going to be back to normal. Maybe we'll have another week into this. I don't know. You know, I'm sure Bungie will make that decision soon if they haven't already. But we're definitely going to see the return of regular trials. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The trials event has been in stone for a long, long time, and I don't think that Bungie's going to change a formula that's been so popular and successful and given so much long-lasting life game. I guess, you know, beyond that, like I said, for me, it was good fun for a weekend, and I hope they do more kind of, you know, just fun holiday stuff in the future with the Crucible. So that's my last word on it. Cougar, did you want to add something there?
Absolutely. I do agree that Trials will definitely not be changed to match that. I do think it is a pretty good rule set to have on an event basis. You know, once, twice, yeah, three times a year, that's not a bad little shakeup to throw in there. But I did want to get across the reason that it really should not be lobbied for, I guess, as a permanent change.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
I didn't really get to play it this weekend, so I don't know much about it. For those of you who've delved into my stats or my post, I'm not the biggest Trials player. I played it relatively decently in year one. I went to the Lighthouse a few times, but it's not my preferred game type, really. So I leave most of the Trials talk up to other people. I'm more into the casual Crucible modes as far as it goes, mostly because I spent a lot of my time in the Crucible testing weapons. And Trials isn't necessarily the best place to do that. And number one, because light levels are enabled, which makes it really difficult to get damage numbers. And number two, just because mistakes are punished so rapidly.
Yeah.
But, so I don't really have too much to add to the Trials thing. I think it's cool. I like what Bungie's doing, where they're trying to change things up. You know, things get a little bit stale, people get into the routine, and you're always going to have people who are upset when the routine changes. That being said, the problem with some of Bungie's changes that they've brought is that it promotes play styles that aren't necessarily... It promotes one play style above all others, and that play style has very few weaknesses, and it's very difficult to beat. And we saw that they did this with Supremacy, too. Supremacy promotes a close quarters, aggressive play style. And there's not really room for other playstyles in there. The best players are shotgun wielding, you know, fast charging. Mostly, a lot of them are Juggernaut Titans, but just, you know, shoulder charging Titans. Even it's one playstyle, and there's just not really room to be a sniper in Supremacy. And I understand why they do that, but it just. I think they need to make sure when they add new game types in, especially game types that are going to be permanent, that it caters to more than just one playstyle. You know, there are a lot of options in normal Trials that you can do right now. There are a lot of ways you can play, and different teams have their own different styles. If you make it to where there's only ever one style, and that's the only way to win, the game's not going to be fun, or it's not going to be fun for people who don't enjoy playing that style. You know, so yeah. While I agree that it's a good thing that Bungie's changing things up and shaking things up and trying to find new things, I don't think this particular instance is the answer, you know, in the long term. Even if it did make Trials more accessible for a weekend, that, you know, novelty can wear off pretty quickly.
Just as I shoot the moon, something that I talked about quite a while back with some of my clanmates, we kind of, you know, spitball like, oh, wouldn't it be great if Bungie did this, if Bungie did that, you know, kind of things you talk about when you're running raids, running strikes, just killing time. Something that really, you know, stood out to us as maybe a missed opportunity or a fun opportunity for Bungie to hopefully look at in the future. We've got all of these different modifiers on damage types, on things like that, that can vastly affect the experience in the PvE world, but we don't really see much of that happening in PvP. We don't see playlists that take advantage of elemental damage types. It's irrelevant, Crucible. And I think that's, you know, that's a key part of the Destiny experience, and it's kind of sad that we never see a void mode. You know, it wouldn't be something that would be competitive, it would be something that I would expect everyone to play or enjoy. And it, you know, wouldn't even have to necessarily be elemental, but there's, you know, 20, 30 odd modifiers out there and change the way the game plays. You know, how interesting would it be to play Exposure Crucible, you know, or some of these other things? So I hope that they continue to explore the possibilities.
Yeah, I like that idea. It could be like a mayhem playlist, you know, Void Burn for the week or something like that. And everybody goes in there with their Night Stalkers and, you know, Void Walkers and I assume Defenders, even though.
Yeah, I get to break out Atheon's Epilogue.
That wouldn't help
you know?
It too much. Yeah. But I like things like that. And before I get off on a tangent, I'm going to head myself off. But I just want to mention the modifiers they have in this game. I feel like there's a lot of untapped potential there.
Yeah.
They've got some great modifiers, some modifiers that legitimately make the game fun to play. And then they've got some other modifiers that things like, I don't know. What is it? Isn't there one that, yeah, well, Trickle, obviously, but I think they've made the decision now to go away from Trickle. I haven't seen it. Fingers crossed, knock on wood. I haven't seen it recently, thank God. But, and someone was complaining about this the other day. Trickle removes everything that makes Destiny fun. It removes all of the abilities. Why would you want to play a game with Trickle? And it's supposed to make, you know, you think more cautiously about using the stuff that you have, but that just makes the game not fun. But there are other modifiers, like, what is it, like Airborne, where your weapons do more damage in the air. It's like that maybe would be useful if more than three archetypes of weapons were accurate in the air. But, like, what are you trying to make me do? Just use hand cannon, sidearm, and PvE? Is that all you want me to do? Because even then, it's still not really that useful to be jumping around all the time and stuff. I feel like there's some modifiers that really, they haven't tapped the potential. You think of the skulls in Halo, and those things changed the way the game was played. Even if it was something as minor as adding additional dialogue to the characters, or something as major as making it to where every enemy had double grenades and every enemy dived all the time. They always took cover. You know, those things were fun, and they added a level of challenge to it, but it wasn't challenge that you ever felt was either unfair or unenjoyable. You know? And I don't feel like Destiny has quite hit that with their modifiers yet. So we're getting a little bit off topic, but I do agree that, you know, a casual weekly playlist similar to Mayhem with modifiers on it would be something that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to dive into a modifiers conversation today, or we'll turn this into the modifiers episode. And I didn't prepare for that, but maybe that's something we should do a breakdown on the future, what all the modifiers are and we do. And I think that might be a great topic for a future discussion. That said, speaking of modifying things, I've got some ideas here, some suggestions for people to look at modifying the way that they experience the game in real life. If you guys have those notes pulled up or prepared to go that direction, or am I forgetting? I think we want to leave challenge mode toward the end just so people can skip the spoilers.
Yeah, we can do that. We can save Fossix for the last part.
Anyway, so let's dive into it. So I put some notes together here on that final menu screen, that settings menu. When you open your menu up, you go all the way to the right. You have a lot of options there that I think are very easy to completely forget about. You know, everybody thinks, of course, about sensitivity. And adjusting their sensitivity. That's the most common one. And I'm going to leave that for last because I think that's maybe the area where there's the most room for discussion. But I want to talk about some of the other settings that you have there that you can take advantage of to not only change the way you experience the game, but also to give yourself an advantage or an edge in different parts of the game, including in Crucible. So the first area that I want to touch on is music and sound, specifically the volume of the music and the sound in the game. Now this, the area where this makes the biggest difference, obviously, because I'm talking about music, is going to be PvE. So the PvE players who've been hearing a ton of PvP talk from us, this little bit here is for you. So the music in Destiny, I think, is fantastic. It's some of my favorite gaming music. From a very long time having been spent playing games, 20 plus years, 25 years I've been playing video games in one form or another, you know, since I was old enough to hold a controller without dropping it. And that said, you know, the music in the game can create some very powerful emotional reactions and emotional impact on you. while you're experiencing the game, it's a very key component to that, especially in the raid, of course. But you get that game music in story modes, in strikes. It's important, and that actually makes it more difficult for you to play the game effectively in some situations. So something that I want to offer as a tip, and this has been said elsewhere, I'm not by any means the first person to say it, but if you are struggling in the raid, if you're struggling to beat Axis, turn off the music. I think this actually hit the front page of Reddit recently. This is a very old tip. This is something that I saw on Reddit multiple times in year one. I'm sure it'll come up again with every new expansion. If you are struggling, if you've got clan mates, if you've got fellow raiders who are struggling to understand mechanics, to follow along, turn off your music, have them turn off their music. You will be amazed at how much calmer that fight is. And that's going to help you not only in the raid, but also in any other content that you struggle with. If there's a strike that is just, you know, kicking your butt. If you've got Shield Brothers on Solar Burn and Exposure and you're just like, okay, this is borderline not worth it, not fun. Turn off the music, adjust the sound so that the game sound is loud enough that you can hear what's going on, but the focus is on the party chat so you can focus on that communication, and it's going to make a huge difference in your gameplay and your effectiveness. This is something that I do. I've fiddled with my sound settings to the point where they're exactly where I want them to. I turn on the music the first time I play through so that I can experience that emotional impact. And then generally I turn it off after that. When I'm trying to grind through strikes, I don't want to get distracted. When I'm trying to, you know, really dig in and beat the raid and be, you know, on point, I'm not going to want to hear the music at that point. Is that something that you guys have ever done?
I've turned the music off before in PvP. It helps to hear some of the game sounds. The music in PvP is not loud. It's not as crazy as it is in PvE. It's not like the raids. It's not meant to be cinematic. It's meant to be background noise. I turn the music off because it makes it easier to hear footsteps and noises that aren't necessarily normally really, really loud, and I max my game volume settings. That being said, I haven't done that in a decent amount of time. I think I did it back in the day when I played Trials a decent amount, and then I recently did it one time because I was testing fusion rifles and I needed to hear the sound of the charge activating, and then I just left it off when I played a few games after that. I mean, it helps. I think that's more for PvE than PvP, but it does help. I won't say that it doesn't. The music is a distraction. It's auditory cues that you don't need, that don't need to be there. Definitely turn it off. And I like in your notes here that you said you'd bump vibration in with this too, because I think vibration is a much bigger deal for PvP.
Yep.
Some of the very best Destiny players I know don't use vibration. I personally do because I enjoy playing with it, but I think you will play better if you turn vibration off. I don't know exactly what it is about the vibration that seems like it makes it more difficult to land shots while you're being shot. I honestly don't know what it is, but I notice that when I'm playing without vibration, I feel so much more accurate. I feel so much less jumpy, especially when I'm taking fire and my controller would just be going nuts. So I think for PvP, a big, big deal would be try playing without vibration. And if you want to turn the music off and turn the game sounds up, then absolutely do that too. I guess that's all I have to say on those two. I think those are good suggestions.
Cougar, is that something that you've ever experimented with, taken advantage of?
As far as the vibration on the controller goes, I actually do play with vibration. It's never really bothered me, per se. But then again, I haven't ever turned it off, so I wouldn't know. It'll be something that I need to test.
The one thing that kind of sucks about not having vibration is you lose one of the cues for when you're being shot. So you have the screen cue, obviously. You have the flinch. But one of the first cues that I notice, especially if I'm looking in a different direction, maybe not at the dead center of my screen or something like that, is the vibration letting me know that I'm taking impacts from someone else. And you do lose that, but that's something you get used to, and you get used to it relatively quickly. You start to pay attention to the visual cues a lot more. And when you see those visual cues, you actually realize how much information the game is giving to you that you can see just on the screen. It tells you basically everything you need to know. You don't need the vibration. The vibration is a nice bonus. It's made to enhance your, I guess, feeling of being a part of the game, being in the world. But you can deal without it, even if it takes a little bit of getting used to.
As far as turning off the music and giving priority to party chat and game noise, I play with a Turtle Beach headset almost exclusively, so I usually just run chat through that headset and keep the game music, game noise, and music restricted to the TV, so I don't necessarily have the issue of not being able to hear my party over those noises. And again, as Mercury said, as a PvP player, the music really doesn't have any impact at all on gameplay.
So one thing I wanted to just talk about a little bit on that front, because I think it is important that you guys have been talking about, there are a lot of sound cues in Destiny that give you extremely useful and even crucial information about what's going on in the game world. You've got, you know, like you said, Mercury, you've got footsteps, other things that can be difficult to hear. You've got, you know, perks activating, supers activating, you know, firefights, all of those things that you're hearing that are telling you what's happening in the game and helping you to react. However, I think especially, you know, for somebody like me, I tend to be very good at focusing on one thing at a time, be good at one thing at a time. And sometimes I think that just the sheer amount of information that we're getting in the game can become a bit of a distraction. And there's not really an effective way to, you know, kind of mute any of the visual cues that we're getting. We get a lot of visual information. But being a parent, having, you know, a child who takes naps, having, you know, a wife and a child who go to sleep often long before I do at night, there are a lot of times when I find myself playing with my TV volume extremely low or muted. You know, I've had times when I'm having issues with my headset. I don't, you know, I'll play with no sound at all. And what really blew me away is that turning that sound off actually did not hurt my gameplay. I found that, you know, going in solo queuing sound off, I played just as well and in some cases better because I was more focused on my radar. I was more focused on visually tracking my enemies. I wasn't, you know, talking back to Shax as he's, you know, encouraging or disparaging my decision making. I wasn't getting distracted by noises that, you know, sometimes can be helpful, sometimes can be just excess information. It's not a way that I would play all the time, but it definitely helped me better at using my radar effectively. So it's an experiment that, if you've not been sort of tricked into doing it the way that I was, I would recommend giving it a try, you know, forcing yourself to basically have to use your radar to track what's going on in the game and have to use your memory and you know, actually seeing where people are to know where your enemies are at, I think is a useful exercise. And so that's the only thing to add in there. You kind of covered vibration. It, you know, it, there's not much more to say. Turning it off, really, really helped my game. I have not turned it back on in a long time. And that's true for both PvE and PvP. It actually, you get a lot of vibration going on in, you know, in PvE when you're getting shot. And turning it off, I mean, if you combine that with the music tip, if you turn off the music, you turn off the vibration, suddenly those extremely tense situations in a challenging nightfall or a challenging raid boss fight become amazingly more calm. That's going to really help you perform. You guys have any other thoughts on sound, or I'll jump into some of the aesthetics. So
I think you pretty much covered it.
Yeah, let's talk about brightness. I just want to touch on real quick because there's not a whole lot to say. So you set the brightness when you first set the game up, and you probably have not thought about it since then. and that's fine. You know, when you're making that brightness thing, you know, there's the bar that's supposed to be, you know, like you're not supposed to really be able to read the text on or whatever, and then you've got, you know, you can kind of see this and you can see this. That's fine if you want to get kind of the more atmospheric light, and you're going to have a lot more darkness going on. Some of the hive areas are going to be extremely spooky, especially the first time through them. And that's fine. That's a great way to experience the game. It's probably the way the developers and designers and artists intended you to experience the game. So I'm not going to say, you know, don't experience it the way they wanted you to, because it's a great way to do it. But if you want to really optimize your experience, I cannot recommend anything except for turning that brightness up until you can comfortably see and distinguish everything going on in the game. It's not going to make, like, you know, like the game, like there's a spotlight in it or anything. It's just going to make it really easy to see what's going on. And that's, you know, just a quick, that's how you can use brightness to your advantage in every aspect of the game. Moving on from that, colorblind settings are extremely popular. If you watch a lot of videos on YouTube, if you play just on the standard color settings, you're going to notice that the colors that you see in a lot of videos on YouTube do not match the colors that you see in the game when you're playing it. And that's because colorblind settings are extremely useful, not only for people who actually have colorblindness, but for anyone who, you know, ever has any difficulty distinguishing between some of those very close color shades, reds in particular. So just a little bit of the science here for you to keep with the massive breakdown spirit. So men in general cannot see or distinguish shades of red as well as women, which actually is kind of funny given how commonly used red is in video games. And, you know, in radar and Destiny, you've got two different shades of red on your radar, which you can learn to distinguish. But, you know, personally, I tend to struggle with shades of red kind of blurring into each other, and that's always made the radar a little bit more difficult for me, I think, than how other people talk about it. So kind of gives all men a little bit of a disadvantage there, which is kind of funny. But there are actually three different types of color blindness, and Destiny has modes to address all of them. So there's deuteranopia, which is blindness or a weak sensitivity to green light, makes it very difficult to distinguish green. It's the most common form of color blindness, 6% of all men, only 0.45% of women. It's a genetic condition, so very common in the population. Protanopia is the second most common. It's kind of the inverse red-green color blindness, so it's blindness or very weak sensitivity to red light. Afflicts 2.09% of men and 0.05% of women. It's another genetic condition passed on from your parents. So if you're out there, you experience that, I hope that these colorblind settings are helpful for you, because they're helpful for me, and I appreciate having them. And I'm not colorblind. So the third kind is tridenopia, and this is commonly referred to as yellow-blue colorblindness, which is very much a misnomer or a bad description of it. Red-green color blindness is actually not being able to distinguish red from green, having them kind of fade into a single shade or spectrum. But yellow-blue color blindness is actually not being able to distinguish blue from green or yellow from violet, or having only weak sensitivity when you're distinguishing those shades. It's extremely rare. 1 in 10,000 people have tridenopia. It's typically genetic as well, but it's something you actually acquire, which I thought was crazy. But this can happen to you just as you get older, or if you experience a head injury, you can suddenly lose some of your color vision, which is crazy. I didn't know that could happen. There's the science for you. The benefit to you as a PvP player in particular is that these settings all provide much stronger color contrast on all of the UI features, including enemy names, including the radar, it can actually change the color of the radar, so if you have trouble with reds, that's going to be a huge help to you. The radar has probably been very close to worthless, especially on Mars maps, and that's going to be vastly improved by taking advantage of these. For those of you like myself, don't have color blindness, I strongly recommend experimenting with these color settings anyway, because you can turn some colors pink and give Destiny a very cartoony feel, which is just a fun change of pace. And B, even if you're not colorblind, it's not uncommon, you know, for people to have eyesight difficulties and difficulty distinguishing different contrasting colors, so you might find that one of these modes works a lot better for you. Personally, I find Tritonopia to be the most fun of the color settings for me. I think it looks awesome, but I typically leave it on the Deuteranopia setting. I find that makes the radar easier for me to see.
One of the friends who I had start playing the game was really, really struggling to read the names of both friendly and unfriendly players over their heads, and he was having a lot of issues with shooting at players, and I'd be like, dude, that's your teammate. What are you doing? Why are you shooting at them? And he'd be like, oh, I don't know. I thought it was an enemy. I was like, don't you see the name over their head? They have a blue name, but the blue is kind of faded and it blends into the background a little bit. And the red wasn't really a bright red. So I forget which one of the settings it was, but we switched and it made the names like a bright blue, made it a lot easier to distinguish between friendly and enemy players. It definitely helps. There's a reason you see a lot of players doing it. You know, you don't want to be straining your eyes to see whether someone is an enemy the second they round the corner. You just want to know. And it's much, much easier if the person's name is in bright blue over their head or bright red over their head. So yeah, I think the colorblind settings definitely help. I personally don't play with any of them changed just because it kind of throws me for a loop, because I've been playing for so long with Destiny in the default settings that it doesn't, you know, I've never had an issue with the default settings, so I don't need to change it. And when I do change it, it kind of throws me off a little bit, so I don't like it. I don't like to mess with my game like that. Sure. But I could see how they'd be immensely helpful for other people though.
Actually, in Destiny, I haven't made the colorblind switch yet, but going back to when I played Call of Duty 4, Call of Duty 5, pretty competitively, I definitely did do the colorblind switch, because that was another game that it was very difficult sometimes, in the heat of the moment, to see if somebody turning the corner was friendly or not. Just from experience from earlier games, and I probably should make this swap in Destiny. It's that big of a help in certain game modes, really. If you just get caught not looking at your radar, it's a big help. So definitely recommend that. I don't know which setting it is either, but the one that just makes it a little brighter on the blue is enough of a help to change your game up a little bit.
Yeah, I think that might be the Tritonopia. I don't remember 100%. I was looking at these earlier, and of course now I don't quite remember all the colors that were affected by each one, but that's so this is kind of funny, self-deprecating, but when I first started playing, I had some friends who'd been playing already for months and were helping me out, and I just had a heck of a time keeping track of their names on the screen. Their names were constantly fading into the background. They're constantly waiting for me, saying, look for my name, look for my name. And I'm like, I'm spinning in a circle. I don't see any names of any friendlies anywhere in sight. And, you know, this was long before the colorblind settings. And like I said, I'm not colorblind, but that I'm aware of. But it made such a huge difference when they added those settings in. And, I'm super grateful. I definitely would encourage you, Cougar, and everyone who's not tried it to at least try it. Maybe like Mercury said, it'll be a distraction for you, but you can't know until you've given it a shot. So moving on from there, I've got just two items left, another small one, screen bounds. So this is something that you can, again, set up when you first loaded the game and you're kind of getting yourself set up. And typically when I'm installing a new game and it wants me to set the screen bounds, I'm going to set it pretty close to the edge of the game, right? Because I don't want my UI getting in the way of me seeing what's going on. I have a pretty good sized TV and I like to take advantage of it. But what I've found as I've started to play more PvP is that Like everyone, my peripheral vision, while pretty solid, is not perfect, has blind spots, and if I'm looking off to the right a little bit, suddenly I can't see my radar at all. And so this is some, this is one of the reasons people buy those 24-inch gaming monitors. It makes it very easy to not have to rely on peripheral vision. But if you're like me, you're just playing on your TV at home, something you can do to resolve that is adjust your screen bounds so that they're smaller. It's really that simple. It moves your radar and other UI elements closer to the center of the screen. It's just going to make your life a lot easier in terms of tracking all of that stuff. If you're serious, this is not something to care about. If you're just playing for fun, you don't, you're not worried about improving on a consistent basis. But if you're paying attention, you notice that your radar is disappearing in peripheral vision from time to time. Again, scientifically, everyone has blind spots in the middle of their peripheral vision. You're gonna lose that radar periodically on a big screen. So that's not something that I do typically. It's something I'm thinking about doing for a while now and just have not made the switch. But I know you'll find people talking about it on Crucible Playbook. You'll find people talking about it elsewhere where people are very serious about getting better at PvP. Again, one time, is that something that you guys have ever experimented with?
No, I set my screen bounds a little bit on the smaller side to begin with, just because I don't want to lose anything to the corners of my screen. But I haven't really ever had any issues with this it being too big and it being hard for me to adjust like my eyes to it or me looking at something and losing part. I know a lot of people that play on smaller monitors because it's easier for them to see the entire screen without actually shifting their eyes to one corner of the screen or another. And I know some people don't like playing on big monitors for exactly that reason. Like a huge 60-inch TV, to see your radar, you have to physically look your eyes up at the top left corner of the screen, which means you're not looking at the center of your screen, which means bad things can happen. So I know that there are a lot of people out there who play on smaller monitors for exactly that reason. I mean, I play on like a 43-inch TV or a 42-inch TV, but I sit probably 9 feet away from it, and I don't really have that issue. Like I said, I just made sure my screen bounds were within the frame of the TV, so I didn't lose like a corner of a radar or something like that.
The best players in the world, if you watch them, they're usually playing on gaming monitors, which isn't relevant to this discussion. But the size of them is, they're usually 30 inches to, I want to say, 25, sometimes a little bit above, sometimes a little bit below, usually no bigger than 32 or 34. Personally, I play on a 42, and I'm sitting less than 6 feet away, so I do have that issue of having to physically look away from the middle of my screen to check that radar. Being able to check your radar without having to move your eyes, without having to lose sight of basically what's straight in front of your gun barrel, is a pretty big deal. I've been killed way more than I care to admit because I looked up at the radar, went, "Oh, hey, there's somebody directly in front of me." And by the time I look back in the middle of the screen, I'm already dead. So adjusting those boundaries to bring your radar closer in to your immediate line of sight when you're looking straight in the middle is going to help your gameplay as well.
It's really as simple as that. You've got two options for dealing with having that peripheral vision issue. If you do have a bigger monitor, that's a great point, Mercury. You can sit further away from your TV. It's going to make it easier to see. Obviously, sitting very close to a big monitor like that probably is not great for your eyes. So you probably should sit closer to 9 feet away, a little further away than I typically sit. That's part of where my issue comes from, where I just need to bring those screen bounds in a little bit. But I definitely, just since we're talking about accessibility and that kind of thing, I don't think it hurts to mention, those gaming monitors, in addition, of course, to the technical specs, the refresh rates, and things that allow you to respond to the game faster because you're getting the information, the feedback back from the monitor faster than a TV can display it typically. They do make a huge difference in your peripheral vision. And that is, like you said, a concrete advantage. And that's the point I wanted to communicate is just be aware that that's an issue. If it's a concern for you, those are your options. You can look at a monitor, you can look at your screen bounds, you can just plain sit farther away from your TV. And I think, Mercules, you had something to say there.
Yeah, since you brought that up, refresh rates are a huge, huge deal when you're playing a game that's as fast-paced as something like Destiny. If you are playing on an older HD TV and you don't have a gaming mode enabled or something like that, you could be having, I'm trying to think what the refresh rate's like, something like 45 milliseconds or something of lag before your inputs from your controller are registered on your screen, and it can be completely screwing you up. I purposely, when I bought my TV, went out and found a TV with the lowest refresh rate I could get. Something down in the single digit milliseconds, which isn't optimal. It's still not as good as a high-end monitor, but it's better than the vast majority of TVs out there. And I mean, the first HD TV I ever had, I plugged my Xbox into it, played two or three games of Halo, never played on it again. Went back to my old like cathode ray, the huge big TV that just had component cables into it, because it was so much faster. The refresh rate, I call it screen lag at the time before I really knew what it was, but I would literally hit the stick to do something and there would be a noticeable pause and then it would do it on the screen. It made it impossible to play. And you very well may have a TV that's got a really, really poor refresh rate and that's hindering you. So just, you know, Google the name and model of your TV, see what the refresh rate is. There's a ton of banks out there that have all the data on it because it's a big deal for gamers, especially playing fast-paced games like this. So I'd say check that out if you can.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. I know some of the better ones get down into the 1 or 2 millisecond range, which, you know, is essentially, as far as your ability to perceive that as a human being, is essentially no lag whatsoever. So that's kind of where it peaks out. Cougar, did you have any final notes on that?
No, I don't really have anything to add in on this topic.
All right, well, let's go ahead and try to wrap this thing up here. We're pushing out longer than we intended per the usual idiom here on Massive Breakdown. So I want to talk about sensitivity. I'm going to try to cut this shorter than I originally planned it. This is the setting that everyone is familiar with. This is the setting that, you know, it's in every game. Everybody adjusts this to their own preference. I think it typically starts you out at 5 or 6. I know for a long time I played on 6, but just to, I guess, to kind of illustrate the difference, of course, you know, when you turn it up to 10, for somebody, you know, for me personally, I find 10 to be so insanely responsive that I literally can't use my stock controller as is. It makes the game unplayable. Whereas 1 is so slow that the game is unplayable for totally the opposite reason, because you can just hold the stick jammed over and, you know, count the seconds as your character turns in a circle. That is definitely a setting, if you've not really experimented with it, that I think everyone needs to explore. I guess the way that I figured out what my optimal sensitivity was, and this is what I would recommend if you were asking me personally about it, I would say just go straight up there, push your sensitivity all the way to 10, play at least 3 games on it. I arrive at that number because that's where I typically fatigue, when I'm just having no success and just getting crushed in the Crucible. If I'm just having a bad day, after I've had 3 bad games in a row, I typically go do something else. So what I would recommend is play 3 games, go do something else, and then try it again the next day. If it still feels terrible, bump yourself down to 9. If it still feels just so excruciating that you can't bear it, down to 8. Don't jump down too fast, though. Continue that experiment until you find the setting that feels doable but still challenging. And within a couple of weeks, you're going to find that setting is now normal to you. And that's I think, going to really improve your gameplay, because faster reaction times are life in Destiny. And that's kind of, I think, the most basic and simple way to explain it. I have a couple additional notes I want to make about some accessories that can benefit you in that area. Before I do that, like I said, 6 is where I ended up normally, which is not a terribly high sensitivity. Currently, I play on 9, and I'll talk about how I moved from 6 to 9 here in a minute. But where are you guys at sensitivity-wise? How did you get to that number?
I'm at 10. So I've been at 10 for, I don't know, 6 years, maybe longer. Now that I think about it, I started playing 10 in Halo Reach. And it's because in between Halo 3 and Halo Reach, I played a couple of different shooters, Rainbow Six Vegas 2, some of the Call of Duties. And it felt like in Call of Duty, the sensitivity was just much higher by default. Up until that point, I'd only ever played on like 4 or 5 at most. And when I came back to Halo, it just felt so slow that it was unbearable to me unless I went to 10. And I sucked at 10. I was really inaccurate. But I took being inaccurate over not being able to turn as fast as I wanted because I figured I can work on my accuracy. I can't ever make myself turn faster. So just after however many years of playing with 10, I've gotten used to it. And there'll still be times when it screws me up. I'll panic every once in a while. And if you ever watch some of my recorded gameplay, you'll see my aimer just all over the place for a brief second before I get it back under control. And it sucks. But I mean, I've tried going lower and I literally just can't stand it. I can't deal with it. So I play on 10, well aware that I'm probably handicapping myself. I don't recommend anyone try playing on 10. It's really not necessary. The very best players in the world are probably using 4, 5, or 6, somewhere around there. I mean, it's so much easier to snipe. It's so much easier to maintain control of your aim when you're playing on, you know, something that is above average, but not ridiculously high. So I recommend, on a stock controller, obviously, I recommend 4, 5, and 6 to everyone. Try one of those three. Try all three of them. I don't really care what you do, but use one of those. If you're going 7 or higher, for the most part, on a stock controller, you're probably going to be struggling unless it's just something you work really, really, really hard at. There isn't the benefits you start getting kind of start being countered by the drawbacks, you know? So that's just my 2 cents.
As far as my sensitivity goes, I play on 7. And for shotgunning, the higher sensitivity works a little better because you are going to have to move a little quicker. You're going to have to aim a little quicker in close quarter situations. I do like to snipe every once in a while, and 7 on a stock controller is going to be a detriment. Kit, you're going to mention it, so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I do have an accessory for my controller that helps mitigate that issue when I switch to sniping.
Yeah, I think those are some great points, and that, you know, it's good to hear that other people feel that that 4, 5, and 6 range, which I ended up, you know, when I was just using just kind of a standard controller, nothing special about it, is a good range to be. And that always felt comfortable to me. I did not like the slow turning radius. That's something you talked about, Mercules. I always felt that I was not able to turn as fast as I wanted to. But when I pushed up past that, I did feel that it was doing damage to my aim. And unfortunately, you know, I don't play PvP enough that I thought that was really something that I could overcome in any kind of reasonable amount of time. So it's always kind of a balance of, you know, turning slow sucks. I know it's getting me killed, but on the other hand, screwing my aim up for an indefinite period of time is also going to get me killed and not be fun. So that can be a real struggle. So what I ended up doing to kind of get myself out of that rut, kind of not being happy with either option, is I actually picked up some joystick extenders or thumbstick extenders from Control Freaks. And full disclosure, we are getting zero money for saying that. So if you go out and you buy some other brand, I really don't care. I'm going to talk about the Control Freak brand because that's what I happen to own. That's what was recommended to me by a friend. So, you know, don't get hung up on the brand name. I can't say anything about any other brand because I don't know. But what I found is that it was instantly or almost instantly helpful. I was instantly able to tell the difference in terms of my ability to make fine adjustments on higher sensitivities. I did struggle with my aim for about a week afterward, and at this point it feels so normal that actually playing stock is really painful for me. So that's how I jumped from sensitivity 6 being just the highest I felt comfortable with to now typically playing on sensitivity 9. And I feel like it's a real advantage to have those extenders on there. I was pretty skeptical of the whole thing. Like, you know, I'm going to go spend $20 on these pieces of plastic and rubber and stick them on my controller, and they'll make me just a little bit better at PvP, or make PvP a little bit more fun for me. But you know, I had a credit on Amazon, and so I was like, oh, whatever, I'll just order them and give it a try. And I'm really glad that I did. And here, just to again very very quickly throw some of that that illustrative or data oriented stuff at you, I'm not going to talk the mathematical numbers because I chose not to major in math for a reason, but just to illustrate it for people who also aren't good at those spatial mathematics. So imagine you've got a ruler and a yardstick. You take one end of the ruler in your hand and you put the other end on the ground or on the table. If you then move your hand 6 inches to the left, the ruler is, you know, it's at a 45 degree angle, right? It's a sharp turn. It's like you're turning your character sharply to the left. On the other hand, if you then, you know, set the ruler aside, you grab the yardstick, do the same thing. You grab one end, put the other end on the ground, move your hand 6 inches to the left. You've now made a very fine adjustment, right? The yardstick is only just tilted a little bit. And that's the same thing you're doing with these stick extenders. You're just giving yourself a larger turning radius. You can still turn the stick all the way to one side to turn, you know, very fast and take advantage of that high sensitivity. But then when you need to aim precisely, you can also do that. So it just kind of gives you that edge. There's, like I said, there's a ton of brands out there. I tend to play with the Control Galaxies. I know Cougar, I don't know if you know which ones you have.
I actually have the Control Freaks as well, and it's much for the same reason. It just makes the fine aim adjustments easier.
Yep, absolutely. So obviously there are also custom controllers out there. I know scuffs are huge in the Destiny community. They typically also come with that option to get sticks of varying lengths, varying grips. You've got the concave versus the convex grips. And I know people have different preferences for those. I like the indent there. It makes it very easy for me to grip it. But of course I'm a total shotgun, evil person, and I need to keep a firm grip on that stick in close quarters. So beyond that, that's kind of the last bit that I had for sensitivity, accessibility. Is there anything that I missed? Any other final thoughts you guys had on that?
No, not really. As I said before, I play with a stock controller. I don't really change anything. I haven't bought any accessories. The only thing I've had my eye on is an Elite controller with the paddles on the back, because that can definitely help. But I've never really touched any of those accessories, never played with a mouse and keyboard, like a Zim 4 or whatever they're called. Don't really have any firsthand experience with those. Really the only thing I've ever found myself wanting for was the paddles on the back, which come with a custom controller. I think that'd be nice. And we talked about last time when we discussed controller settings, button schemes, I guess, what the benefits are of not having to remove your finger from a thumbstick while you're doing it. I don't really have anything else to add to that. Those are all really great things. A lot of stuff that I think if you take the last three episodes combined and put them together, you know, even if you haven't changed anything else about your playstyle, just looking at these tips and tricks is probably going to help you improve your game a pretty sizable amount. And I say this knowing that, you know, even I don't do all of the things we talked about. If I did every single thing we'd talked about from beginning till end perfectly, I would be a better player than even I am right now. It's hard to do some of these things. Not necessarily the stuff we talked about today, because a lot of that's just changing settings and getting used to it. But in the past 3 weeks, we've talked about some stuff that is aimed at maybe you weren't doing this before. Maybe you need to start doing it now. We've talked about choosing different perks, working with different exotics, maybe playing different strategies than you're used to. And just to close out this episode, because I've had some people mention stuff to me on Reddit and some of my recent posts that they think that I'm giving people the wrong idea when I'm telling them how to get better at the game. I want to clarify that there's two modes of thought. There's play to have fun and play to get better. All right. And these two things, sometimes they intersect. Sometimes when people are having fun, they are getting better. You know, sometimes the only way people have fun is if they're winning, things like that. Sometimes people don't give a shit about the meta. They don't care about it at all. They want to use a fusion rifle and No Land Beyond and to hell with everyone else. you've got to look at what type of player you want to be. You have to look at whether or not you care about winning, whether or not you care about being the best you can possibly be, or whether you just want to enjoy the variety in the game, what Destiny has to offer, whether you want to try every single exotic and every single perk and find your own unique play style. And both of those things can coincide and work together. And neither one of them are wrong at all. Personally, myself, like I said, I don't really play Trials that much. I play mostly sixes. I'm trying different stuff. I just got the perfect loadout on my Hunter today where I don't care about the perks at all. I happen to have some cool glowing green eyes and Radiant Dance Machines, a Soul Stealer's Claw with green chroma, and some random uncommon sniper rifle that I found that also happens to be green, and all the stuff matches. The sniper rifle is awful. It takes 3 body shots to kill. It's horrible. It's one of the worst snipers in the game. But I'm using it because it looks good and because it's fun. I'm not using it because I think it's going to make me the best player ever. But at the same time, if I go into Trials and I really want to win and I really want to go to the Lighthouse, I'm probably not going to be bringing my 77 Wizard and my Cocytus into Trials. I'm probably going to run with, I don't know, the Palindrome and a Party Crasher or something like that if I absolutely want to win. You got to understand that there are different ways to play this game, and none of them are wrong and none of them are right. But if you really are trying to get better, you're trying to become the best player you can be, then maybe these tips are more for you. If you just want to go out there and have fun and you want to use your fusion rifle, all the power in the world to do that. You're completely okay to do that. And sorry for the little bit of a rant. It's just something that's been brought up to me a lot, that someone was saying that my guides didn't really make sense because I didn't mention various aspects of the game. Well, if you're trying to be the best you can be, you're going to want to use the most powerful things that there are for you. Using anything else is going to be handicapping yourself. Whether or not you want to play with a handicap is up to you. Personally, I enjoy playing with a handicap. It makes things fun. You know? Fun. Not makes them easier to win. Not makes me necessarily a better player. It just makes them fun. So that's just all I wanted to say about that. You look at the best players in the game and they use the best weapons in the game. And then some of the other ones, maybe they run with a fusion rifle for fun. But you've got to decide whether or not you want to win and be the best you can be, or whether or not you want to experience variety and enjoy the sweet fruit that Destiny has to offer.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always room to go back and forth. You know, like I know you do that, Mercules. I know you do both at different times. And I hope that everyone does a little bit of both. I hope everybody experiments, tries different things for kicks. And I hope everybody also, when they get serious, when they down, also stops and thinks. And I hope that these guides come in handy when you're in that mode, when you're wanting to win, when you're wanting to knock that raid out in no time, or knock that trials run out, and you're taking advantage of these tips. So that, I think, is probably a great place to leave it. And I just am going to mention real quick, huge spoiler alert, Vossik challenge mode obviously is solved. It's on the front page of Reddit. It's all over the internet. You guys already know the answers if you want them. I'm just going to say it real quick here, in the case this is the first time you're hearing about it and you don't care about being spoiled for challenge mode, normal mode and hard mode, the clean room must be closed, again, spoiler alert, using one of the 2 SIVA charges that fall toward the end of the DPS phase. You have to throw the charge at the door mechanism in order to trigger it, for that to count for challenge mode. You can kill Vossik any way you choose, it just does not matter. So the SGA that's out there is basically to go in teams of 3 left and 3 right, and then you can use the bombs on that final kill phase when you get to that point, you know, hopefully your third phase at this point in the game, to damage him and help bring him down. That's all there is to it, and I am done.
I think we're done with the entire episode, so thanks for tuning in this week, guys. Cougar, you got anything to add to this?
No, it was a good episode this week.
All right, we'll see you guys next week then. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.